Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Shades of Magic by Jessica Wayne. Narrated by Stephanie Rose. You and I are doomed. You know that, right?
Are we?
A guardian and the sage assassin? We're midnight and noon, dark and light. Two opposites that should never have met.
Perhaps. But consider this. Without one, the other wouldn't exist.
Sienna and Daxon. Chapter 1. The stone walls of the Amber Isle loomed before Sienna, and she stared up at them, a scowl on her face, as though they were her enemy of flesh and blood. After all, the people on the other side were the very reason she was in the fucked-up situation she was. They'd ruined who she could have been, and this place stood as a constant reminder of a past best forgotten, of a family slaughtered, of a young girl's childhood stolen, of a prison sentence that started with hope and ended in chains. Closing her eyes, Sienna took a deep breath, feeling the icy air filling her lungs. When she opened them, she watched her exhaled breath disappear in a puff of smoke. She would not be a prisoner ever again. Not to the fucking Magic Council, and certainly not to Amos Ward. He was a monster, enemy number one, and she would see him dead before fresh grass sprouted up from the dirt. Snow fell gently over the realm, coating the ground in soft, white powder. No birds chirped, having all abandoned Cambrexia for some place warmer. And other than a handful of forest animals that thrived in the chill, there was little life to be seen beyond the walls of the place standing before her. Of course, that could have something to do with the wolves and vamps roaming freely over most of the realm, now that Amos was ruling Cambria. They'd run into more than their fair share of monsters in the month and a half it had taken them to get here from the realm's capital. Some of them so feral, their eyes had been little more than black sockets in their heads. She glanced back. They'd had to go slowly to accommodate those who were forced to walk, and the time it cost them was not something any of them had taken lightly. Not when they had a stone to find, and a genocidal maniac to stop. Coughing was a constant background noise now, and she knew if they didn't get these people somewhere warm soon, they wouldn't last.
Hey.
Daxon's gloved fingers interlinked with hers, and she instinctively leaned into him. 2 months on the road had pulled them closer together, the one thing in the realm going right for her. Hey.
You okay?
Sienna's jaw tightened. It's just been a while since I was here.
We'll get these people settled and get back on the road quickly.
Sienna nodded in agreement. She was more than ready to track down this damn magic stone so she could put an end to Amos's plan to destroy the realm. If that was even his plan. As of now, all they had was speculation. Glancing up at Daxon, Sienna took a deep breath. They'd face that together when the time came. Daxon squeezed her hand gently before releasing as the large gates swung open and the Magic Council strolled out, inky robes a direct contrast with the snowy ground. Sienna did her best to keep her eyes focused away from the one member she hated above the others. She could feel him watching her, ancient blue eyes searching her face for some kind of reaction. But she'd be damned before giving him one. He didn't fucking deserve it. Madame Preet stepped forward and lowered her hood, revealing dark hair that was slicked back into a bun. Sienna, Zane, it is nice to see you both again. We were wondering when you would return home. She spoke to both of them, but narrowed her eyes on Sienna. They'd always hated each other. From the moment the councilwoman had taken post, She'd begged the council to put Sienna down. A weapon that could turn on them, she'd called her. A sick animal that needed to be dealt with.
We fucking missed you bastards too,
Zane said from where he stood just behind Sienna. Had she not hated this place so much, she might have laughed. Madame Preet turned her ice-blue eyes on Zane. The only woman on the council, she tended to speak for all of them and was even more brutal than any of the others.
You'd do well to remember your place, half-breed.
Sienna growled, hands curling into fists. Daxon reached down and touched her hand gently, and Zane stepped closer, his presence letting her know now was not the time to come to his defense. As much as she hated to let it go, Sienna uncurled her fists. They needed the council. Otherwise, all of the people behind her were as good as dead.
Why are you here, and with so many others?
Councilman Victor asked, glancing around them at the dozens of others they'd brought with them. His bushy eyebrows furrowed as he studied them.
Cambria has fallen,
Lawson said.
We come to seek shelter.
Madame Preet's eyebrow raised.
Why would we trouble ourselves, Guardian? Your people have never been overly kind to ours.
Lawson started to speak, but Sienna stepped forward. Our people are responsible for keeping the magics in check. In the last year, they've not only managed to wipe out the Guardians, but they were directly responsible for Cambria's defeat.
And you know this how? Madame Preet demanded.
Because we were there,
Zane said.
Last I checked, you two were on separate missions. You were supposed to be an Armoner, were you not?
Zane shrugged, but there was nothing relaxed about his stature.
Plans changed when Amos Ward decided to try to take down the entire magical community.
The council members gasped. Even Madame Preet looked stunned.
Amos Ward is dead.
The fact that he pumped me full of Guardian blood less than 3 months ago begs to differ, Sienna quipped. The only person in the realm Madame Preet hated more than Sienna was Amos. She was what the magics called a purist. Wolves were wolves, vampires were vampires, sages were sages, and any mixture of the bunch was an abomination that needed to be put to death. Seeing as how he liked to mix and match, it was no surprise he'd ended up on her hated list.
And yet, here you stand. How wonderful.
The councilwoman all but growled the words, and Sienna smiled.
I'm nothing if not resilient. Seems that way.
May we seek shelter within your walls?
Lawson asked.
Our people won't survive out here much longer.
Madame Preet kept her eyes on Sienna. She was silent so long, Sienna wondered if she would turn them away. The non-magic council no longer stood to enforce inclusion. She could deny them entrance, and there was nothing they could do about it. Well, nothing she could do here, anyway. If the bitch turned them away, Sienna had no trouble putting her down. Clearing her throat, she looked away from Sienna and at the group.
I grant you permission to seek shelter. We have a space large enough to house everyone.
She grinned at Sienna.
It's currently vacant. Sienna and Zane know it well. They can show you.
She turned on heeled boots and walked back through the gates. One member stayed even when the others followed her.
Sienna,
Councilman Fairman spoke softly. She knew his easy tone to be nothing more than an illusion. The man was ruthless when he chose to be. She'd seen it firsthand.
It's good to see you.
I wish I could say the same, brother.
Daxon stilled beside her. The councilman chuckled.
You haven't aged a bit. You still don't look a day over 20.
Probably because you've been forcing vampire blood into me for the last few decades. She responded sweetly.
Consider yourself lucky.
He gestured to himself.
I can't seem to slow the aging down.
Can't say that upsets me too much, Anderson.
Well, I do hope you'll stay around a bit longer this time.
I'd like to catch up.
Unlikely, she retorted. Nodding, Anderson turned away and walked back inside.
Brother?
Lawson asked, turning his attention to Sienna, who nodded. Unfortunately.
You have a brother on the Magic Council? But your parents...
Were murdered by the very organization my brother joined as soon as he was old enough? Pretty much. Sienna glared at the open gates, anger and bile over facing the place where her nightmares were born fighting for control. It wasn't even seeing her brother again that bothered her. She'd been forced to see him often enough while beneath the council's thumb. No, what really got her was the fact that she was about to step foot in a place that was the epitome of her nightmares. There was only one place Madame Preet could have been talking about, and one look at Zane's tightened jaw told her he'd realized it, too.
She's fucking doing this on purpose,
Zane said under his breath.
Doing what?
Lawson asked curiously.
Sienna?
Daxon's voice broke through her haze.
Are you okay?
Yeah. This way. She started walking, leading Naughty through the gates that felt more like a prison than any of the cages she'd been in. And she'd been in plenty over her now 50 years walking this realm. Unlike the realm's capital, the Amber Isle was not home to various street vendors. Instead, buildings lined the walls, leaving the center open to a large field full of horses. There was a single structure where the animals could seek shelter, but otherwise, they roamed the city just as freely as the people inside. It was the only thing about the city she didn't hate. Slipping Naughty's saddle and bridle off, Sienna tossed them over her shoulder and watched as he took off toward the center, where he'd find fresh hay and water. The others did the same with their mounts, and it wasn't long before Sienna started the small trek on the uphill path that would take her to the orphanage. She hadn't been back to that place since Zane rescued her at 16. And somehow, she was still just as terrified of it as she was then. Since he was a few years older than her, he'd gotten out sooner and returned that night to pull her out. She'd been badly injured, having gotten into a fight with another group of sages. But since those in charge had been injecting her with what she now knew was small doses of guardian blood to dull her magic, she hadn't been able to defend herself. So, jealous of the power she'd been born with, they'd beaten her. And when Zane found her, she'd been curled in a ball on her bloodied mattress. A heavy hand landed on her shoulder, and Sienna glanced up at Zane, who'd caught up with her. They'd been a team since the day they met, and the years had only strengthened their bond. He glanced down at her, copper eyes dark with anger.
We can do this,
he said, though she imagined his words were more for himself than her. Still, she nodded. They could, because now they had three more on their side. Sienna glanced over her shoulder, grateful to see Daxon and Lawson behind her, each carrying their own tack. The Cambrians walked behind them, eyes wide with excitement as they passed the dark stone buildings that had been crafted with magic. Corinne brought up the back, eyes trained at the ground. She had hardly spoken at all since she'd woken on the road and discovered she was no longer a guardian. Or at least, no longer just a guardian. Zane said he could sense three separate bloodlines within her. Guardian, vampire, and wolf. Sienna could imagine what she was going through, and because of that, she'd given the other woman her space. Being bled dry and waking up only to discover you were no longer yourself was not an easy thing to wrap one's mind around, and Sienna knew all too well what it was like to be turned into something you didn't recognize. The uphill walk was long, and soon Sienna's lungs burned, muscles aching, practically begging for relief. She set her tack down at the top of the hill, and everyone followed suit. The orphanage sprawled the top side of the city, half of it built directly into the cool stone, much like the Magic Council's fortress. No firelight flickered in the windows, and she knew there was no one who took care of the place anymore. Madame Preet had shut it down, choosing instead to send children to foster homes of those who'd longed for children but couldn't have any. Everyone had named her a hero, but Sienna saw it for what it was. A diabolical political move to keep her in the favor of the people, so when she pissed off the other council members, which she did daily, they couldn't do a damn thing about it. So, the hellhole Sienna had grown up in was shut down. And now, it simply sat here, rotting as it should. She fucking wished it would burn, but the place was spelled to be fireproof. She knew, because she'd tried to set it on fire more than once.
Ready?
Zane asked, and Sienna took a deep breath before nodding.
Let's get them set up so we can get the fuck out of here, she murmured, ready to return to the small hovel in the city that she called home.
Sienna put one foot in front of the other and pushed the heavy wooden door open. Thick, musty air filled her lungs as she stepped inside, the entryway greeting her like a plague of memories best kept buried. She could almost see herself being dragged across the floor toward the disciplinarian's office, curled in a ball in the foyer as the other children tormented her. Zane sticking up for her and being punished for it. She closed her eyes at the onslaught of memories, trying like hell to stay grounded so she didn't lose herself in them. Daxon's warm body standing beside her pulled her back to the present.
What is this place?
He asked curiously, and she realized she hadn't said it out loud yet. The orphanage where Zane and I grew up. At her words, both Lawson and Daxon stared down at her.
This is it?
Daxon reached down and threaded his fingers with hers, a move that gave her strength and let her know just how connected they were.
Fucking lovely, isn't it?
Zane's words were harsh, and he let out a breath.
Have fun. Burn the place down. I don't care.
Shoving through the crowd, he disappeared back outside. Sienna couldn't blame him. Of the two of them, he'd definitely had the worst time inside these walls. He'd been brutalized day after day, sliced open physically and emotionally. Some demons didn't stay dead, and those days were very much alive for her friend, despite the years that passed. Rooms are to the right, she told everyone. Kitchen is through there. She gestured to the long hall to the left. Do what you need. Go where you want. You have free rein. They muttered thank yous before dispersing, everyone going in search of rooms with beds. Sienna walked further inside until she was in the sitting room just off the main entry hall. Kneeling, she snapped her fingers, and a fire roared to life before her.
You doing okay?
Don't you get tired of asking me that? Sienna asked as Daxon reached down and pulled her to her feet.
Never.
He brushed the hair from her cheek, tucking it behind her ear. I'll be better once we can leave. She nodded at Lawson as he made his way over with Corinne, who still wouldn't look at anyone.
When are we wanting to get back on the road?
He asked, crossing his arms in front of the fire.
A night or two,
Daxon answered.
We need to make sure everyone gets settled.
Where did Zane go? Corinne finally spoke, her voice barely above a whisper.
It's hard for him to be here, Sienna explained, staring up at the stone ceiling and bare walls. This place holds a lot of bad memories for us both, but Zane had it even rougher.
Is this where you grew up? Corinne asked, her eyes once brown, now one copper and one blue, leveled on Sienna. Sienna nodded, and Corinne turned away, disappearing back outside. That being said, I will be going home. Those four walls may be stifling in their own way, but I can't stay here. Will you be okay?
Lawson nodded.
See you in the morning? I'll be back to check on you later,
Daxon said, as he wrapped an arm around Sienna's shoulders, and they walked back out into the winter air. Chapter 2 Zane stalked down the path, back toward town, muttering curses at every demon in his past. Fuck Madame Preet and her fucked-up agenda to force him and Sienna back into a place even she hated enough to shut down. As much as he hated the Amber Isle, he knew its streets like he knew the back of his hand, so making his way to the place he'd set up residence took no mental power at all, leaving his thoughts to travel down darker, more distant paths. Fuck the entire council of cowards, too afraid to stand up against her. Fuck Sienna's motherfucking brother for putting her in the situation she was in, and making it so Zane couldn't have just taken her and abandoned this realm. Fuck every single asshole who'd made his life a living hell in that place, where the halls were just as cold as the stone they were carved from. He could remember every single moment of torment from his childhood. Every single slice of the blade still stung. And stepping back into that fucking place, if only for a moment, amplified those memories. He stomped up the stone steps, leading behind the pub he'd been drunk in more times than he could count, and shoved open the door to the single room he only ever used when forced to return here by order of the council. If all went well, this would be the last time he ever set foot in this place. Because after they saved the realm from Amos, Zane was going to ensure he and Sienna had their freedom. Even if it meant killing the five bastards standing in their way, including her brother. Hell, maybe especially him. He tossed his saddlebags on the bed, the contact emitting a puff of dust that only served as a reminder that the last time he'd been in that bed, he hadn't been alone. He'd had the affection of Sienna as they'd used each other to distance themselves from the pain of their pasts. Now, what did he have? He thought Corinne, but she'd barely been able to look at him since she'd woken up and discovered what she was. Zane closed his eyes, the image of her, pale as death, popping into his head. Losing her hadn't been an option, and if it meant she'd hate him forever, well, at least she had the option now. Hell, maybe fuck her too. Fuck them all. The room was cold, so Zane knelt beside the hearth and shoved a handful of dusty kindling inside the stone cavern. Since he didn't have Sienna's power over fire, he used a piece of flint to light it. New flames sparked old memories, and though he fought against it, Zane was pulled back into the hellish nightmare that was his childhood. Zane knelt beside the fire, holding his hands over the bright orange flames that danced happily, greedily eating the wood he'd stoked it with. Most of the others had gone back to sleep. Sienna was the only one who'd stayed out with him, and even she was slumbering beside him on the floor. Their beds were nowhere near the hearths in their rooms, shoved instead into a corner near a window, and with the cold winter, their only chance at warmth was to stay awake long after the others were asleep. He didn't mind. Being able to roam the halls without fear of being tormented was something he and Sienna weren't accustomed to during the day. When night fell, though, the place was theirs. He glanced over at her and smiled. He was going to be getting out in less than a year, and as soon as he was free, he was rescuing her. Then they could roam the realm, going wherever the hell they wanted. It didn't matter to him as long as they were together. Footsteps echoed down the hall, but Zane paid them no mind. Chances were it was one of the sage leaders, and they didn't bother with him or Sienna once the others were asleep. After all, with the magic dampener in their systems, it wasn't like they were much of a threat. The footsteps grew closer still, and Zane turned to see four sage kids step into the room. He went on alert, positioning himself in front of the sleeping Sienna.
"What do you want?"
he demanded, adrenaline surging through his system.
"What do you think you're doing?"
Fiji, the leader of their little group, stepped forward.
"Shouldn't you be tucked in your corner where you belong?" "It's cold. We're only trying to stay warm."
"It's cold. We're only trying to stay warm,"
he mocked in a high-pitched voice.
"Pathetic. That's what you both are."
Sienna stirred behind him, sitting up and yawning. "What is it?" she asked, scooting closer to him.
"Nothing. They were just leaving,"
Zane told her, hoping she'd stay behind him. He could protect her that way, and if it meant he got hurt instead of her, he'd take it. He'd carry her pain for as long as he could.
"I think we can help with it being cold, don't you?"
Fiji glanced back behind him, and the other boys nodded, smiles on their faces. The boys rushed forward, and Zane scrambled to his feet, pulling Sienna with him and shoving her back in the corner behind him.
"We just want to help,"
Fiji laughed and reached for Zane. Balling up a fist, he lashed out, catching one of the other three in the jaw. They cursed and fell back as the other two grabbed his arms. Sienna screamed and ran for him, but Fiji smacked her, knocking her to the ground. She hit her head and groaned before going silent.
"Sienna!"
Zane yelled, pulling against their hold, but since it was made stronger with their magic, he was no match.
"Now,"
Fiji said, pacing in front of him.
"You said you were cold?"
Waving his hands, he brought the flames higher, and they filled the room with bright orange as they climbed halfway to the ceiling. Zane's eyes widened as he stared in fear.
"How about we warm up those hands?"
Zane fought against them as they shoved his hands into the flames. He screamed in pain as the fire burned his flesh, the sick smell filling his lungs.
"No!"
Sienna screamed and slammed her small frame into Zane's abdomen, knocking them both back. She pushed to her feet, a small shield in front of him, as his vision blurred, the pain nearly too much to bear. He could have sworn he saw sparks at her fingertips, something that should have been impossible, given the guardian blood in her system.
"Back off,"
she roared,
"or I swear I will kill you all."
"You can't. It's not possible. You shouldn't."
He heard Sienna growl.
"Obviously I can,"
she said, in a tone he'd never heard her use before.
"And I will, should you ever touch him again."
Zane's hands went numb, his brain blocking out the pain that was more severe than anything he'd ever felt.
"I'm going to get help," Sienna told him. "Hang in there, Zane."
Zane stared down at hands that didn't bear the scars they should have. The healer had taken pity on him, removing most of the evidence of the flame's painful kiss. He pulled a sleeve up and studied the one and only scar left behind, a single crescent moon of burnt skin. Pushing to his feet, he searched his shelves for a bottle of anything that would numb the pain. When he found nothing but empty glass, he roared, verbally emitting all of the pain as he flung the glass into the flames. It shattered, the pieces raining down on the fire. Slender arms wrapped around his waist, and he hung his head low, breathing in Corinne's scent. He hadn't heard her come up, so wrapped in his past, but her presence now settled the beast inside. It was the closest they'd been since she'd fed on Lawson that first time. Calming himself, Zane turned, and she released him, stepping back to put distance between them. Her beautifully mismatched eyes watched him, and he was suddenly embarrassed over his outburst. He'd worked hard to put the past behind him, and yet
She'd been witness to the one time in the last 3 decades he'd let it consume him.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?